and they're popular, especially in Loveland. They're very popular, but appreciate them. They go with me each and every week, and they sing, and just are a blessing to so many. Those of you that have been down to the nursing home, Miss Edith, that was Darcy's grandmother. She's 101 now. They just moved her because Darcy took a new position over in Brookwood. And Miss Edith, it seems like she'll be passing away this evening. And Darcy sent message and just wanted people to be praying. But Miss Edith is saved. She knows she's going to heaven. And she was a fascinating lady. You live 101 years. That's pretty impressive. Just pray for Darcy. Pray for her family, if you would. And just please hold them in your prayers. Last week, we began our study here on the book of 1 Corinthians and continue to do so. We kind of mentioned that sandwich method that Paul's writing in. He praises them in the first few verses. Then he's going to get to the meat of the subject, and then he'll end the book rejoicing and thanking them again. But now he's going to start addressing some issues, and I'll address one real quick. I do know that John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress and not Paul Bunyan. I said that last week, I love everyone. I just love how you pay attention. All right, that was great. I'm glad you caught those things. So, but yeah, I do know the Big Blue Ox had nothing to do with Pilgrim's Progress, but I did say that last week, so I will correct that tonight as well. But the church had a serious problem, and we're going to get into the very first problem here tonight in chapter number one. Starting right where we left off in verse number 10. If you're able to, let's stand as we read the scriptures. I'm going to read a few verses here to get us going. We'll go down to about verse number 17. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you, God, for a wonderful day today, a wonderful Sunday school hour. Then, Father, you bless this morning. Thank you, Lord, for watching over Ms. Campbell. And Lord, I do pray for her. God, I thank you for a good service down at Hope today. I thank you for the opportunity to worship here tonight together. Lord, for sweet fellowship, for singing your praises. And now, God, I pray that, Lord, you would lift up your word. Teach us your word. Lord, as the psalmist says, open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, I pray that, Lord, you just work in a mighty way. Teach us your scriptures. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. The book of 1 Corinthians is a very practical book, and you're going to see this as we study. For us as a New Testament church, the book of Corinthians is going to address a lot of issues. Some of them are going to say, "Wow, you know, boy, I hope whoever that's for gets it right, right?" But there's going to be a lot that are going to say, "Ouch," right? Because it's going to address a lot of issues that the church back then was going through that unfortunately churches today still go through. And one of those that he immediately begins to talk about is divisions in the church. There were divisions in the church at Corinth. For whatever reason, lines had been drawn and people were taking sides, and it was beginning to be a mess. And Paul's going to address this immediately, and it should be addressed. If there's ever divisions going on and problems, it should be addressed. It should be something that we talk about. It should be something that should be handled in a Christ-like spirit. And Paul does that. We're going to see him. We're going to just get an introduction to this tonight. But I believe the Lord has some lessons for us here. So we're going to see, first of all, the source of their divisions. The source of their divisions. You see, first of all, he talks about the folly of their cliques. There are some cliques in this church. You understand what I mean by cliques, right? I'm not talking about, you know, little sound effects. I'm not talking about you can have a click in your speech, something you repeat over and over again. But I'm talking about divisions, little parties here and there. Now, before we get into it, we need to explain something. Now, A, this is easy to happen in a church. It can happen in any church. Has, probably is in many churches, and could happen easily here. But before we get into Paul addressing what the clique is or what the divisions are, also you need to understand that you can't be too sensitive either. What I mean by this is this. Everyone has a different personality. A lot of times people say there's cliques when there isn't cliques. It's called personality differences. In our church, I'm looking across an auditorium. There are many different people here. Many people going through many different things in their life. There are different stages of life going through right now. I mean, I'm looking across an auditorium. There are some who are around the age of 70 going through a different stage of life than what Coy Webster's going through. Coy Webster's, you know, going to be a junior this year, growing an inch a day, I think. And, you know, he's can't wait for school to start. He told me that. I was so excited to hear that. I'm not going to say why, but he was so excited for school to start. And, you know, he's a different stage of life. You take Brother Sutherland, he don't really care when school starts, all right? Not a problem to him, all right? But at the same time, Coy doesn't even think about hopping out of bed in the morning, where a lot of us do, all right? It's a chore. Sometimes it takes us two trips to get out of bed, all right? We're all in different stages. Brother Miss Napier back there, been married for many years. Brother Miss Phillips were here this morning, been married 62 years, right? It's exciting, but they're in a different stage than what James and Abigail are in. They are about to get married. Completely different stage of life. My wife and I, we have three children. We have a 17-year-old about to turn 18. Got a teenage daughter and an 8-year-old daughter. And that's a different stage of life than where Brother Haddix is at. Now, you say, why are you saying all this? Well, because naturally, different stages of life, you're going to be kind of drawn together. That doesn't mean there's a click. That just means we share something, right? You share something and you're gonna, you know, be drawn to each other. A clique is this when there's when you have one group over here that doesn't like another group. Now, the fact is this, you know, someone with a family, of a bunch of kids, you take like, Jordan and Christina back there with their children, Rick and Rachel with their children, both, you know, roughly give a few years, about the same age. When church is over, they're probably going to say, hey, what'd your son do stupid this week? Hey, I'll tell you what my son did stupid this week, right? They're on that stage of life. Brother Haddix may go over and talk to Brother Schwartz after church. But that doesn't mean that Ricky can't come up and talk to Brother Haddix and they love each other. There's not a click there. There's just different events in life. I say that because the devil likes to create things in our mind like there's clicks in a church when there isn't. Now, if you are sitting in here tonight and there's someone in the church that you don't like and you won't talk to them, then you're wrong. And if someone knows of that going on, it needs to be addressed tonight. Now, I don't know of that going on, but if it is, before we dismiss, it ought to be brought to our attention and handled tonight in a biblical fashion. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to sometimes personalities clash. You can be the same age, but your personalities just don't jive with each other. You have to admit there's people like that, every one of you, right? There's some people, your personality, you just don't get along with that person. You love them in the Lord. You say this all the time. Bless their heart. Right? Because that kind of covers a multitude of sin, right? Well, bless their heart. bless their heart, right? But it doesn't mean you're angry at them. Sometimes personalities just don't jive. There's nothing wrong with that. Not a thing. I kind of get the feeling that Paul and Peter's personalities didn't go together real well. Not that they loved each other in the Lord. They were doing the same work. They weren't mad at each other. Sometimes there's different personalities. Sometimes it's different stages and events and what your life is going through. But that doesn't mean there's divisions in the church. And you can't be so sensitive that you sit there and say, well, no one likes me. No, you just need to get over yourself. And he who hath friends must show himself. Just be friendly. You know, just man, be friendly. But I told my Sunday school class this the other day, a couple weeks ago and in our lessons. And it's just the truth. The Bible never mandates that you need a best friend in life. There's not a verse of scripture that says, if you don't have a friend, you're a loser. I mean, it isn't in the Bible. There's a lot of warnings about the wrong friends, and if we have friends, but the Bible does mandate that we be friendly. No matter what, that you be friendly. So Paul's going to address some issues, but you know, I thought I would just, again, first address that just because there's different personalities, different stages of life, different events of life that people go through. Sometimes two people go through the same thing and they're able to get together and talk to each other and they draw a friendship through that. That doesn't mean that there's a clique. That's called nature. That's called just being natural life. Jesus even addressed it. Remember one time his disciples came to him. Don't you love the passage of scripture in Luke 9? The disciples said, Lord, there was these people over there, and they were casting out demons in your name, and we told them, you can't do that, because they don't follow and walk with us. You remember that? And the Lord said, this is Travis Burke's commentary, you guys are stupid. I mean, he looked at them and said, they're fine, forbid them not. If they're not against us, they're for us. So just because you might not cross every T, now doctrine's important, do not get me wrong, and I don't think it was a doctrinal issue. But you don't have to hang out with everybody. Not everybody's your best friend. But you're still doing the same work. You're still in this together. You have a church our size, and we're not a huge church, but we're not a teeny church. You have a church our size, you're going to have all kinds of different personalities. There's going to be some people in this room that you're not really going to click with other people. And you know what? That's fine. Not everybody would click with someone like me, but still, there's going to be some people. I'm kidding, all right? There's going to be some, but that's life, all right? That's not what Paul's talking about. When we're going to address divisions, that is not. This is some serious stuff where people are sitting over here and not talking with the people that are sitting over here, and they're angry at each other. And then no one better cross the line. That's what we're talking about in this passage of Scripture. So he's going to address now the folly of their cliques. It's a serious issue in the church. Number one, in verses 10 through 12, he's going to reveal their cliques. He's going to show where the lines are. First of all, he makes an appeal in verse number 10. First word, all right, not first word, but first when he starts talking. He says, now I beseech you, that next word is what? Brethren. He lays down a principle here. Your brethren. I want you to pause and let that sink in a little bit. Your brethren, you ought to get along with each other. Your brethren, your family. Now, everyone with a family understands this. There's some people in your family, there's probably that one aunt or that one cousin or that one nephew or that one whatever that you're like, oh no, right? I heard, I ain't going to say their names, but I heard, you know, a couple of teenagers talking the other day saying, we're going to be with a certain family member. Pray for us. Kid's wild, right? And they were talking about it, right? You know, and there's always, you know, but still, your family. He addresses them and says, brethren. You remember Lot and Abraham? Remember when there were some divisions amongst the herdsmen? And Abraham brought Lot in and he said, Lot, we be brethren. Now, what was he saying? And he made that statement. There should be nothing that causes a division between you and me. Let's work it out. Let's not let it stew. Let's not let it just sit there in the pot. Let's work it out because we are brethren. As Paul begins to address this issue, he reminds them, first of all, don't forget your brethren. You are brothers and sisters in Christ. So you need to work these things out. So he lays this principle down. And then the second thing is this. He addresses the problems. Starting there in verse number 10, follow along with me. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, follow, here's the problems, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in same mind and in the same judgment. There are three problems, can be summarized by three words. Of course, I alliterated them. All right, now number one is this, by orations, by their speaking. Notice in verse number 10, he said that you all speak the same thing. You know how divisions start in a church? It went through these same steps. It has always gone through the same steps for 2,000 years. I hope it doesn't happen here, but here's the steps of what happens. First of all, people start talking. They're all staring at me weird. That's what it says. Read it again, all right? It says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Guard your words. Be careful about the words that come out of your mouth. Again, I don't know of any divisions in our church, so I'm not preaching at anybody, but this is good preventative maintenance, a good reminder from the scriptures. You know how divisions happen? It could be here by Sunday. How would it start? It'll start by somebody talking, saying things they shouldn't say. Now, that doesn't mean there's never problems, there's never things that need to be critiqued, there's never things that need to be corrected. It does. But you go to people who can do something about it. And you have a spirit of, let's get things right, not, boy, I'm mad. Boy, I don't agree. The preacher's wrong. I'm upset. It always starts with the mouth. Then number two, not only orations, but organizations. It says there that you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. All of a sudden, now that you started talking, sides are starting to be drawn. There'll be some people that the person that's talking to, some people are going to listen to him and say, huh, you're right. That's not right. There's going to be other people that say, that's not a big deal. That's nothing. Don't worry about it. And before long, there's the one group that's been talking who's accumulated people that's with them who are now thinking, well, the other group, they just don't see it. And all of a sudden, now you've got a division. All of a sudden, you got two sides. All of a sudden, you've got lines drawn. Orations, organizations, and then it ends up with opinions. It says there, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now what happens is this. There's a chasm between the two. Now all of a sudden, people started talking. Then people started picking a side, and now there's a group here, there's a group there, they have their opinion, they have their opinion, they have their mind on it, they have a different mind on it, they're judging it one way, and they're judging it other, and all of a sudden, you've got a big problem. Now, that's what was going on in the church. We're going to address the exact issue, but I pause because that is the same steps that take place, it has for 2,000 years, and if there be a division in the days ahead, all the divisions that have happened in the days behind, it will be because the same three things will take place. People will begin to speak things without going to people that can handle it. They will begin to organize, they'll get their two sides, and then all of a sudden, they got a chasm between the two, and they're steadfast in their hard-headed opinion, they're right and the other people is wrong. It's going on in our country as I speak. And it's going on in churches. God forbid it happen here. If someone ever does start complaining and just saying things that need to be addressed, then address them. Take them to someone who can do something about it. Don't allow things. You say, well, I want to stay out of it. We're going to see what happens there. And we're going to see a good biblical example in just a second. But the same process goes over and over again. So you see the appeal. Now, number two, you see the appraisal. He appraises the situation in verses 11 and 12. First of all, he shares the source of his information. I love this verse. It says, therefore, it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, we read that verse like, yeah, that's good. Can you imagine the guy sitting there reading the letter to the church at Corinth? Right? Y'all with me? This is awesome, right? Randy, Brother Randy, I'm sorry. You and your wife, you're the house of Chloe, right? Right? All right, they're reading the letter. Now, you know, they praised him. You're so great in utterance and knowledge. And the whole church is like, amen, we are good. You know, and he goes on with, you know, there's no one. You're ahead of everyone in all spiritual gifts. We're an awesome church. And then he gets down, but I beseech you, brethren, by the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that they speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. All of a sudden, a couple groups in the church are like, uh-oh. And that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And the two sides start looking at each other. Mm-hmm, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. Then verse 11, for it declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe. Tattletale, right? They all look. What? Can you imagine being in the house of Chloe sitting in church? Right? Now, a little humor, like, brother, you know, humor helps, right? There you go, right? But the fact is this. Praise the Lord for people who, when they know it's an issue, they'll stand up and say, yes, it's an issue. And I'm looking at you dead in the eyeballs to tell you this. Most of the time, that didn't happen. If I had a quarter for every time that someone walked in my office and said, please don't use my name, or I don't want to tell you where I heard this, well, if it's an issue, why don't you grow a backbone and love the Lord in your church enough to say, let's handle this? Amen. Paul, I'm sure, knew that Chloe's house was willing to say, sure, we shared it. Now, they're not here, so don't look around, all right? I just recently had a dad say, well, my daughters know something, but I don't want to get them involved. They have some privacy, and I don't want their names used at all. Can I tell you something? If it's an issue, then be strong enough to stand on the right side. You say, well, I don't want my children looked at wrong. Well, guess what? It's a good lesson for them to learn now instead of hiding the rest of their life. I love this verse. Because when I read it and was studying, I laughed out loud. I LOL'd, right? Because I can't tell you how many times. That's what everyone does. Please don't tell anybody I told you this. I don't want to share where I learned this. Please do not mention my name at all. Well, if it's not important, then who cares? If it is important, then be willing to stand for it. And you can do it without being a jerk. It's called being a Christian love. And addressing things. I can tell you love that point, so I'll stop, all right, because you're also excited about it, all right? But you see the source. He shares the source of his information. Then number two, you see the substance of his information. In verse number 12, the substance of his information. Here's where the problem is. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. They didn't have just one division in the church. They had four. I mean, this is a serious issue. They were divided, and there were four groups in the church. One, again, we'll go through it. Some were saying, well, I am of Paul. Now, who is Paul? Well, that's him. That's the one writing. And he's going to address himself in just a second. But he would be, if I had to put a tag with him, he's the educated man. He's the one with the mind. He's the one, you know, just, you know, all that he has done. We could talk about Paul all night. And there were some saying, well, we follow Paul. There were another group that were of Apollos. Apollos was an eloquent man. And I'll prove that. We'll come right back. Turn back to Acts chapter number 18. Look back in Acts chapter number 18. And we'll see Apollos. We'll see where he came from here. Apollos chapter 18. Apollos. Acts chapter 18. Ignore that. Paul Bunyan. In Acts chapter 18. And in verse number 24... Acts 18, verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, here he is, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. That means he's a smooth talker. And mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla, who we know now by the time we get to Corinthians is there at Corinth, who when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So here comes this man, Apollos, who is a wonderful modern-day vernacular. He is a great preacher. I mean, he could get up and he could preach for an hour, and everyone's like, that was only 5 minutes, right? Love him. I mean, he just had everybody on the edge of their seat. He was an eloquent man. The problem was when Aquila and Priscilla first met him there in Ephesus, he had was from Alexandria, which was a place of teaching and knowledge in Egypt. He obviously was a saved Jew, but he had only been taught up to the baptism of John, which was he preached repentance and getting saved, but he did not know, you know, all the further things. He had kind of just gone around preaching that, which is fine. And Aquila and Priscilla brought him in and said, "Boy, you've got a gift. Boy, you know, what you've been taught is great. But let us expound to you," and they more perfectly. They gave him more of the counsel of God. Taught him about all that God was doing with the Gentiles. Taught him about the churches and mission work and taught him about all the gifts and all these different things that was going on. And he became mighty, and obviously Aquila and Priscilla or somebody invited him to come to Corinth, and he spoke there. And I mean, some of the people in the church loved him and said, "Man, we are following what he says." And there's a group here that says, "Oh, no, he's not, Paul's great." And I don't know exactly what the division was over. Maybe a more educated crowd went with Paul. Maybe the smooth speakers went over there with Apollos. But back in Corinthians now, we have some say they're of Paul. Some say they're of Apollos. Some say they're of Cephas. He would be the, if I'm keeping my letters here, the eminent one. He was the one, I mean, very few people had a name like his. I mean, this is, you know, Cephas is Peter, right? But they used his Jewish name. This probably was the Jewish converts in the church. You guys can follow Paul and his Gentile preaching and Apollos and his smooth talking, but we're sticking old school, right? We're with Peter. We're with the rock, right? The stone. The one the Lord's going to use in a mighty way. One of the first pastors of the church at Jerusalem. And there was divisions. By the way, man worship will always divide a church. Don't fall in love with a man. Fall in love with the scriptures. But they began, for whatever reason, some were of Paul, some were of Apollos, some were of Cephas. And this had to aggravate Paul to death. Some say, I have Paul, I have Apollos, I have Cephas, and I have Christ. I don't know what this group was, but they weren't right. They weren't saying, "No, we're sticking with the Lord." That wasn't their attitude. They were a group of people that had brought Christ into the equation and were using him as a way of dividing the church, which is blasphemous and so wrong. So you had this group of people. What all were they arguing about? I don't really know. Scriptures don't tell me. I can't give you much more than that. But I'll tell you this. There were four groups in that church, and none of them liked each other. They were mad at each other. They weren't talking to each other. There was great divisions. And Paul saw it as such a problem, he had to address it quickly. And it's the very first thing he addressed because he knew it would destroy a church. Divisions in a church will destroy a church quickly. Guard yourself. So he reveals these cliques, and now in verses 13 to 17, he rebukes these cliques. He does so by, number one, he ridicules them in verse 13. It says, Paul says this, "Is Christ divided?" He focuses first on God's Son. Is Christ divided? Do you think the Lord would want any of his churches to be arguing with each other? You think the Lord would want any of his churches to have one group here and one group there and no one getting along? Obviously, no. We used the verse talking about the hiles this morning. The Lord said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It's the love that we share that should draw a lost world in. He said repeatedly, love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, loving God and loving our neighbor is the great commandment. And he says, is Christ divided? All right, let's think about Christ there in heaven. You know, it's hard to wrap our mind about it. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We look at it, you can't look at it like 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. No, it's 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1, all right? They're one. Are they divided? Has there ever been a time when the Lord and God the Father didn't see eye to eye? Is there ever a time when Jesus had to sit down with the Holy Spirit and say, you're wrong, no, you're wrong. That's ridiculous and blasphemous. I'm not even going to joke about it. Of course not. And he looks at the church and says, is Christ divided? Well, the answer to that is obviously, well, no. Not only the focus of God's Son, now he focuses on God's servant. In verse number 13, was Paul crucified for you? Did Paul go to the cross for your sins? Well, no. Then why are you being of Paul? He says in that verse, were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Well, no, we baptized since the Great Commission. We've baptized, the Lord's Church is the same way, baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Was anybody baptized in Paul's name? Well, no, of course not. And Paul's making this point. You focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Him that everything's about. It's not you. It's not a popular preacher. The only one that matters is Jesus. So he ridicules them in verse 13. Then in verse 14 and 16, he rebukes them. He says in verse number 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name, and I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Beside that, I don't know if I baptized anyone. He goes and he mentions these people that he had baptized, but he's making the point, it's not about who baptized you. Obviously, some sort of division was all about this. It's not about a person. It's not about, one act that we do. When you get all caught up with an event in the church, when everything becomes about anything other than souls and the Lord Jesus Christ, you're heading towards divisions. When the biggest topic of conversation at a church is color of carpet and pews and buildings and parking places and paint and things like that, we're heading towards problems. Now those things, you have to be a steward and take care of those things. But I'm telling you, what is the most important thing is souls. I mean, it's wonderful to take care of God's things. It's wonderful to spend time cleaning up what God's given us. But how about going out and knocking on doors? How about witnessing the people you come across? How about sharing the gospel and leaving a tract? How about praying for people that aren't saved? How about working in a ministry, riding on a bus, teaching a Sunday school class, sharing the gospel in junior church? These are the things that are important. These are the things that ought to wake us up at night. These are the things that we ought to be talking about together at church. What can I do to reach more for the gospel of Jesus? He rebukes them, and then he redirects them in verse number 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. There's all your baptismal regeneration false teaching. People to go around and say that the waters of baptism is what gets you to heaven. Well, Paul said otherwise. If baptism had any part in salvation, then Paul could not have made that statement. But when Paul made that statement, he's making a very bold statement to us. He said, Christ did not send me to baptize people. Those waters do not determine whether you go to heaven or not. He said, but God sent me to preach the gospel, because it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel that brings people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is important. but has nothing to do with salvation. It is the first act of obedience for those who have believed, but is not a means of grace. I just read where one preacher, he said he was sitting next to one of those types of preachers in an airplane. And that guy wanted to argue with this Baptist preacher. And so baptism did his part and went and gave his twisted scriptures for that and why baptism was a part of salvation. And he went back and told him the truth. And he said, well, we'll have to agree to disagree. And the Baptist preacher's staring there. Then he looked at the guy next to him and he said, if the pilot got on the radio or on the intercom right now and said the plane's going down and we're probably going to die, what would you turn around and tell these people? And the guy just kind of sat there and stammered a little bit. I'm thankful that it's not a work that we do. It is believing in the gospel. And he addresses, as we close tonight, the gospel message. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. I have a feeling those kind of the people, maybe some with Apollos, or maybe some that are claiming to be of Paul, they were trying to argue over semantics and things. He says, it's not wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, church, quit your bickering. It's not about people. It's not even about the waters of baptism. You're sitting there arguing when people are dying and going to hell. And you just need to get back to preaching the simple message of the gospel, that we are sinners and Christ died for our sins. And if we will turn and ask the Lord to save us and turn from our sin, God will save our soul. This is a message, by the way, that needs to be preached all across the country. Brother Malson and I were just talking how there's groups of people that's gone into a ditch on the other side. They make salvation so difficult. That's not in the Bible. It's clear in the scriptures that there was a burden that people would be blinded from the simplicity that is in Christ. Here in this passage of scripture, it says it's not words of wisdom, but the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You just need to preach Jesus. Now, why would Paul say that to a divided church? Everybody get this, and we're going to pray, and I'm done. Ready? Because if every member of Kazada Baptist Temple's his focus is reaching souls and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't have divisions. Divisions always happen because of pride. And there's something that we want. When we yield and humbly follow the Lord, and it's all about the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ, there won't be divisions. And the church at Corinth had gotten off. They were focusing upon themselves, men, even events that are important. But whenever you're starting to argue who baptized who, that's foolishness. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it always be before us, the cross of Christ. May that be why we do everything we do, that people might look and live.